With Vanguard recently launching their superannuation fund and their life cycle options being in the news, in this week's episode, we take a look at whether or not you should invest for your age and change your investments as you age. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. Pete Pennicott here, joined by my co-host as always, Zach Masters.
Hey Pete, how are you?
Feeling good. Watching a bit of a hot mess with Twitter at the moment. Gosh, I don't know if you're on that platform. But,
yeah, I am.
Seems like the talk is it's going to end. So sort of Elon's
cutting costs.
Well, he's cutting costs and cutting diversity, it looks like, from the picture with all of his IT bros in there.
Yeah, Trump's back. Kanye's back.
Is Trump actually on the platform again?
He said he's not going to be using it, but his profile's back up.
Okay.
Same with Kanye. I think there was only one that he hasn't reinstated. So there's the far right activist Alex Jones, the radio host.
Yeah.
The guy that said the mass shooting was a fake and all this. Wow. He hasn't put him back on, but otherwise everyone else is back, it looks
like. So it's Elon's version of free speech.
Yeah.
And is this what's causing volatility in markets? Or what's
I don't know what's happening. Well, it happened. Did you see the there was one case of the blue tick where they started doing the subscription?
Yeah.
And people were going on posting fake tweets and pretending to be different businesses. Did you see that?
No, didn't catch that. No.
There was the company in the US that creates insulin, so like owns the patent for insulin. And then someone went and created a profile of theirs and said they're changing and selling it for $1, and the stock price dropped by like 5% in a matter of seconds.
Wow. So, well, the market reacts to fake news.
That's it.
Surprise, surprise. All right. So make sure the important message here is be very careful where you're getting your information from.
100%.
Don't just trust the blue tick on Twitter.
Well, someone posted that they pretend to be LeBron and said he was leaving, looking for a trade as well. So it's all happening.
Wow. Hey. In other news, sort of Vanguard has thrown their hat in the ring in terms of superannuation and retirement solutions in the Australian market. So this is a long time coming. So they handed back a lot of their investment mandates to the big industry funds and said, catch you later, guys. Have your money back. We'll go do it ourselves. We potentially might try and do it a little bit better. What's your take on this?
Yeah, it's been pretty popular over the past few weeks. It's all over the Financial Review and different things like that. And one of the options that they have in there, or their default super option, is one that's caught quite a few people's attention. So it's pretty rare that I get questions during the week about like super investment options, but this one's obviously given people something to think about. So what they have is their Vanguard Super Lifecycle option, it's called. So a lot of people seem to think that this makes sense, and I personally do think that it's potentially a better option than everyone getting lumped into the same balanced option. So what it is essentially, if you were to start a Vanguard Super and you don't choose your own investment option, you'll get put in their life cycle option. And this isn't new. There's a lot of super funds that run. This might be life stage. They might have different names for it. Life cycle, life stage seem to be the most common ones. Vanguard are definitely not the first to do it. But let's talk about how the Vanguard one works so that you can get a pretty basic idea. So what Vanguard says is the best investment portfolios are tweaked over time. So they said, we developed Lifecycle to do this for you automatically. Drawing on 45 plus years of Vanguard's global investment experience, Lifecycle's been intelligently designed to focus on growth investments in your younger years and gradually introduce more defensive investments as you age, decreasing your investment risk as you near retirement, all without you having to lift a finger. So that's their little spiel. Essentially, the way it works is that if you're 48 years of age or below, you'd be invested 90% into growth assets and 10% in defensive. After age 48, your asset allocation changes and some of your growth allocation switches to defensive. So for example, at age 50, you'd have 82.5% invested for growth and 17.5% in defensive. At age 60, you'd have 60% in growth and 40% in defensive. So it starts to become quite a difference. And at age 70, you'd have 46.9% in growth and 53.1% in defensive. So your balance would switch to more in defensive than to growth. So this would happen automatically without you needing to do anything. So what are your thoughts on this type of automatic asset allocation change, Pete?
I think I like bits of it. I think it depends. It's not going to be relevant for everyone. No financial product, no solution is, I don't think. So I think there's certainly aspects of it that I like, because all things being equal, it's true. Like, investors are going to be rewarded with higher returns for taking a larger stake of their money and putting it in growth assets.
Yeah, and that 90% growth for younger people is much more than you, like, if you're in a normal, or whatever a normal super fund is, like an average industry fund, most of the time you're in a balanced option, and their balanced options normally sit at around about 70% growth, or maybe a little bit more, depending on the fund. So you are definitely getting a higher allocation for growth than what you would in another default option.
Yeah, and I think at a high level, risk tolerance, because of one of the parts of sort of calculating how much risk you should optimum for you is your time horizon. Yeah. So that's, this is a pretty simple way of looking at that. But I think what it fails to take into account is the human element of investing. So I think if it's literally for people that don't look at their super funds at all and have no idea what's happening in the world and what their balance is doing, it might work really, really well. But what it, there's a lot of other things that happen when someone invests. So, what's your individual investment preferences? What's your financial situation? What objectives do you have? Like, is this your only retirement asset? Or do you have other assets that you're going to draw down on retirement? So they have no idea, because it's really, it's not really knowing your client, because all they really know about you is your gender.
And your age.
And your age and your name. Your name doesn't sort of factor into this thing. I think, what I would acknowledge, things change over time. So that's good. I think they capture that. And what I don't agree with is your age dictates that you're the same as everyone. Like, am I the same as everyone born in the year of I'm born? I don't know if I want to give it away. 1983.
Yeah.
So I don't know if all 1983 cohorts feel the same way about investing as I do. So I think you don't necessarily want to be lumped straight into that. But what I do like is the life stage element of it. I do think different life stages that you're going through will mean you need different things from your investment portfolio. So I do like that concept of, breaking it up, maybe not as crudely as year of birth, but, if you're in accumulation, build and grow mode, you're going to need different things than when you're in decumulation, drawdown and enjoy mode from your portfolio. So, I don't know. Like, I would look a little bit deeper, but we have the ability to do that because we get to ask the questions and eyeball people to go, is it just growth or income? Because that's a pretty simplistic way to look at the world, because, I don't know whether that necessarily captures everything, because a growth asset is not a growth asset is not a growth asset. So there's nuances between them.
Yeah.
So I think it really pays to look beyond the label, in my opinion. So because you might want to skew towards higher yielding growth assets.
Yeah.
And that may still be appropriate for someone. So you might, instead of having a CSL, you might hold a CBA. Because one of them pays a reasonably good dividend that's been consistent over time, and the other one reinvests in their business, so you don't get the income. Both reasonable quality businesses. Same thing, but within growth, you've got equities, property, you've got infrastructure, you've got other growth assets.
Mm.
What I think would be sort of taking this to the next level is going away. Still have a fair chunk in growth assets, and maybe that does change slightly over time, but maybe it's just recalibrating what sort of growth asset to hold. And I don't know whether that's captured in this particular product solution or not. No, so I don't know whether
they might
flip from Vanguard Australian shares to Vanguard High Yield, for example. So so those sort of things, I think it doesn't pick it up, but it's better than just staying in the same risk profile forever.
Yeah, and I think that's like, there's always I think it's better than just getting put in the balanced option to start with, and you just stay in that your entire investment horizon. Because like, if you're starting out in super, you're going to get a lot more years of higher growth in this investment option.
I like your positivity there.
Because what I think it does, like, there's always better, like, the most customized solution is obviously you get a plan, or you have your own investment plan that suits like what's happening in your life. Because people don't necessarily retire at, it's obviously aimed for retirement at 60 to 65. This type of strategy, people might still be working till 70, 75 and therefore don't need to turn back the growth or things like that. Because essentially what it's trying to do is stop things like sequencing risk or minimize sequencing risk, which is where if you have an adverse market effect happen just before you were to retire or face a big life event, then essentially that can have a massive impact on how long your capital lasts in retirement. So essentially, if you've got less in growth, then that kind of provides some level of protection. But I think, yeah, the problem is that because it invests purely based on age, it doesn't really take into account what your life stage is at. So what you were mentioning before about investing per what's happening in your life. So I think it makes sense that as you get closer to retirement, like you should review what your investment portfolio looks like or what your super investments look like, because your goals may have changed and things like potentially, you know, capital preservation become a little bit more important to you.
Yeah. And I think when you mentioned that word bespoke, what came to mind is for those that actually know what I look like, so I don't have an off the rack sort of body. it's probably the difference between getting a bespoke suit, which is going to fit you a hell of a lot nicer than something off the rack. Now, there's a lot of people that off the rack suit really well because they've got the body that it fits.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, poor souls, that don't have that perfect sort of off-the-rack body, I think you will get a lot of benefit from having something bespoke. So I think, while it's not nothing's appropriate for everyone, it might actually be a really good solution for people. But what I would suggest as a good tip, going on from what you said before about that, you know, thinking about your life stage, I think what would be good is, if you are considering something like this, make sure you understand, I guess, what you're investing in and how that's going to change over time. And then make sure you sort of, in the back of your mind, know the trigger events where you should review that. Mm. So where your situation would mean you should lift up the hood and go, hey, something significant's changed in my life. This may or may not impact the way I look at and think about my investments and what I need from my investments. And it may not be always age-related. Some of them will be. Like some of the key milestones might be you've paid off all your non-deductible debt. Okay, great. Well, that might change your attitude towards risk because it might have some changes on the bearing on how you're thinking about retirement.
Yeah.
When you start transitioning towards retirement, so if it's sort of going, okay, retirement's 5 years away or 10 years away, how do I think about the world? Like, how am I thinking about risk? What am I comfortable with doing? Because it may be different to someone else. And then you just check that against the sort of, is this sort of the glide path that Vanguard have planned for me or whatever other life cycle, life strategy solution? Is that appropriate? Is that going to fit right? The other one would be like inheriting money. That's going to change the way you think about things.
Yeah.
Finish paying off education expenses, whether it be yours, your partner's, or your children's. Hopefully no one else you're paying for education.
grandchildren, maybe.
Yeah, grandchildren. It's all that. Reaching preservation age. So there's an age-based one. But there's heaps of other events that happen that are not always dictated by the year you're born. Because some people, you might always start out and go, I'm planning to work till I'm 75. So, these products and solutions are not going to be appropriate for you.
I think we also haven't spoken about how you need to probably know what type of income you need to generate as well. So for some people, they might have the asset base to go, I need 100,000 to be able to generate that with, a cash style investment or really defensive style investment. Yep. So they go, we don't need any capital volatility or we can afford to not take any risk.
Yep.
Whereas other people might need to take some risk to generate the return that they need over longer periods of time as well, which we haven't spoken about.
Yeah, and this is obviously for the unadvised community as a sort of go-to solution. So it's not going to be everything to everyone and it's going to have its shortcomings. And I think you're right, just being aware of those and understand its limitations. And then you've got to take some ownership over that and get involved and go, okay, these are the points where I need to sort of review it and maybe build something that's more appropriate and customized for your needs.
Yeah.
I'd say from a high level perspective, it does tick the box of going, it's minimal effort and it changes over time and it's going to fit some people.
Yeah.
Because the key points for people to take away is your investment horizon matters, and that matters from a compounding impact, but also matters from how much risk you should and can take with a strategy before it derails your plans. Because risk cuts both ways. Like risk can be a positive and additive to your portfolio over time. Let compounding do its thing. Or it can be a negative of going, oh shoot, like what you're talking about, sequencing risk of going, retirement is next year.
Well, for people that are we're about to retire now, they might be potentially reassessing at the moment if they hadn't put something in their portfolio that
yeah,
changes.
Well, hopefully they're not reassessing because they, you know, hopefully you've got buffer in there because I think the thing to understand is even if you're in your 60s, you're going to be around for quite a long time.
Yeah.
All things being equal, obviously everyone's different in that as well. Like, how long do we live for? We don't have a date stamp on us to go when do we expire.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're still going to be reward. You still need a fair chunk in growth assets. But I think the underneath that, you need to be spitting out more income because you need to consume that income.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Depending on how much money, if you've got other sources, how much income you do need from your super, that's going to be different from everyone. And then don't just automatically assume that the best strategy leading up to and after retirement is just going to be holding defensive assets.
Yeah.
So you don't just close the door on growth assets forever because a lot of growth assets can actually sort of have a double, you know, it's a double-edged benefit of going, well, I can deliver some capital growth for you, which is good because it helps you keep pace with that dirty word inflation,
yep,
the cost of living on the rise, but also can generate income.
Yeah.
And, you know, while bond yields have come up, term deposit rates are up, cash rates are up now, you know, we've just gone through a decade of quite low interest rates. So that means you probably needed growth assets to be spitting out.
Unless you're just drawing down on capital.
Otherwise, you're spending capital. So, yeah, it's great. It's good to see another big behemoth enter the market and sort of shake things up because I think at the end of the day, more choice, while overwhelming sometimes, maybe there's too much, is good. I think at the end of the day, because competition is going to breed, hopefully, the best result for consumers. And this is just one of those solutions out there to go, hey, is it right for me? That's for you, the listener, to decide. But yeah, if you're not sure, I'd say have a chat to someone.
Yeah, and what I will do is I'll include the link to the life cycle option in the show notes so you can have a look because what it's got a little a lever you can pull to change the age and it starts to show you like the different in asset allocation and things like that. So it's not a bad tool to just have a look and kind of see what their philosophy is on what you should be doing.
Well, if nothing else, if it's got you talking about superannuation investments during the week,
that's it.
When you're out and about, then I think that's a win. You know, basically, hats off to the marketing team at Vanguard. Because I think the more people talking and thinking about their superannuation earlier, I think the better. If nothing else, then it gets you to lift up the hood and check what you've got in super. You may already be in a life cycle option because most of the big funds have one. And I think that's more commonly the default option you get put in nowadays. So, hopefully it sort of promotes discussion and just have a look and make sure it's right for you. If you're not sure, look, we're here. Send us an email, connect@picarda.com.au, and happy to have a yak.
Sounds good. Well, I think that pretty much wraps us up. So we'll see you next week. Thanks, Pete.
See you later.